Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, thank you for joining us, everybody. I am delighted to have Graham Moore on the channel for the first time. Many of you have just watched us with Maggie and Gemma and Kate on the grooming gangs. That is one of the areas we're going to be covering. Also, the unfettered immigration. Who benefits? Who profits? Because I've been watching Graham's videos, and he's done a lot, hell of a lot of research on these subjects. And he's talking about the government contracts and Serco. And, you know, how this cronyism, it's just all handed out and it's enabled all this crime, such as the grooming gangs, to proliferate while the top elites of the country sit back and profit from it. And it's absolutely disgusting. So, Graham, you know, because it's your first time on the channel, are you all right to say to the viewers a little bit about yourself and what got you on this mission, please? And thank you for coming on.
Well, Sean, just to let you and your audience know, what set me on the path, right? So before I say that, I am the chairman of the English Constitution Society as an educational forum about the English Constitution and our common law rights. In other words, the real law, not the fake law that's being promoted by various communist groups out there. And I'm also the founder and leader of another group of people, which is the English Constitution Party. And what we are is a political party that's associated with the English Constitution Society, but we stand in strategic locations when we can. And we've got quite a large following. There's 3,000 plus supporters, and obviously hundreds of members. So again, we support the disabled, the retired, because everyone's being attacked. Everyone sort of understands the government have just increased the retirement age for women, etc. Well, we support retirees, disabled, and various people. So how did I get into all this? 30 years ago, I was held in HMP Belmarsh as a Category A prisoner, and I was completely set up by the police. It was a completely fake crime. Just to give you an example of that, 30 years ago, they said that I cracked 128-bit encryption on a 186 laptop in my bedroom and cracked the banking industry's encryption system. It was complete rubbish. A person I was away with as a Category A, who two guys who knew it was absolute rubbish, happened to be PLO, meaning Palestinian Liberation Organization, and they had been fitted up by MI5, or I should say Mossad. And when I told them, they just laughed. And then they went to me, Allah, right, as if I was God. And the reason they did that was because it was complete and utter nonsense. We become very good friends because they'd been fitted up as well. There's a whole story about the prison system and what we went through, especially as Category A prisoners, and how the British system uses our prison system and the police to corrupt the judiciary and the judicial system. So one of the things, just to make sure people understand this, instead of me turning against the people in the system, I sat in a cell and read law books. I then studied the Constitution. Virtually all of the best books from the prison library were in my cell. I could see that the prison system was abusing prisoners. So therefore, I got the prisoners together and said, do you do understand that we have prison law in this country and we can do judicial reviews, etc.? They started to listen to me because we was all being banged up 23 and a half hours a day, right? And as they did, I started to use the law and the system. And in the end, the system started to obey us, not the other way around. So you should see the prison rules and prison regulations a bit like the Constitution. Once you know what it is and you club together and say, this is what we need to do, then you can hold the bad players to account. And that's what I was doing in the prison system.
So how did we get where we are, Graham? I mean, I moved to America in 1991. I was an immigrant, and America was good to me. And a healthy amount of people coming into the country is good for the economy. It doesn't derail national identity. But then all of a sudden, here in the UK, I came back in, December 2007. It just seems after that, there was a real acceleration of unfettered immigration. How did we get to where we are? And, you know, symptoms of that are the criminality that we're seeing, the gangs of London, the grooming gangs, it's fed into that as well. But what were the root causes of this from the get-go?
I have to be a bit careful what I say on this show. We have reverse engineered, and when I say we, there is a group of us, reverse engineered every law that they put in place. And it goes back really until 1812. So if you know anything about history, and certainly the War of Independence, which, so from 1776, the British had been beaten. The British only existed from 1706, 1707. England existed from 927 and technically still exists, although we are being crushed. And the people crushing us are actually the British oligarch, or the British ruling class, or the British cabal, right? And they suckered in the working class. And I'll give you an example. There's a group out there called the Fabian Society. The Fabian Society are committed Marxists. They were the people that were funded by the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and various other groups, industrialists, pharmaceuticals, etc. And it was to suck in what they could see was the uncontrollable working class. And they did that via the Fabian Society created a political party called the Labour Party. And that's where the real stench of corruption come in. There was a particular law. It was called the Parliament Act of 1911. That was pushed through by the Fabian Society and another group called Sinn Féin. And that changed the way we were governed, because it started to pay politicians. And they was warned at the time by very good politicians and honest politicians, don't do this because you're going to create a political class. And that's exactly what happened. But if you go back through history, you'll see that there were certain points in history where, again, in 1812, the British attacked the United States of America and they lost again. And then they realised they had to remove the British. The British had to remove the English system and the common law and the common law constitution, right? And they started to chip away. So the first real effects of that you can feel from the Oath Act, which was in 1857, I believe it was. And then another act was put in place, very similar, called the Jews Relief Act. And the reason why I talk about that is because it was extremely serious what they did. And they in effect, removed the Christian oath and allowed anyone to be a member of Parliament, House of Lords, or in the judiciary. Within the next year, a person called Rothschild was elected from the City of London into Parliament, right? So because of them acts, he was elected into Parliament. Within 10 years, they had started to dismantle the English Constitution and the constitutional protections that were put in place by our ancestors. There are many, many, many of these things, but one of them is called the British Nationality Act. And again, if you read history and you read Hansard, You can see in 1670, we were warned, don't do this. So even in our English Parliament, they tried to do this. And what they tried to do was protect Protestants, European Protestants, and they opened the gateway to them. So this is nothing to do with race. It's technically nothing to do with religion per se. But in doing that, they started to flood the gates. And what happened was that politician succeeded in stopping mass immigration in 1670. Unfortunately, in 1708, they passed the British Nationality Act. And then within 3 years, they realized they'd made a serious error and they made it null and void and they stopped it. And then we started to get a slight recovery. So there is a whole history of legal history. I'm not talking about normal kings and queens and who was having an affair with who and who's an illegitimate child and who isn't. I'm not interested in that. What I'm interested in is what actually happened and what created the mess we're in now. And that's why we say the Constitution is the solution.
So it's fascinating that there are such, you know, ancient, deep roots to this. What is the reasonably recent story? Let's just go back the last decade or so as to how we've seen, you know, the immigration go on a slope like this to just go hyperbolic.
Well, the major point to that, first of all, our constitutional laws are our law, right? They are the foundation of this country, the same as in the United States of America. But if you want to look at the most recent things, you need to look at, firstly, and I always say this to people, we lost the Second World War. And the reason that we did was because we sided with the Soviet Union that then infiltrated the British, right, in a big way. It was also acknowledged by General Button, I think his name was. I can't remember his last name now on the tip of my tongue. But he basically said the same thing. A number of people said the same thing. That doesn't mean that you're siding with the Nazis. It's saying that the actual enemy was the Soviet Union, right? And it was a group of people called Bolsheviks. So from that, in 1981, they created something called the British Nationalities Act. And what that did was erased English, Scottish, Welsh and Irish national identities and replaced it with British, which is internationally unlawful. But they did that. The person who did that was a lady called Margaret Thatcher. And the person who did that prior to her was someone called Joseph Stalin, who was the Commissar of Identity with the USSR, and he created something called Soviet. So when you hear British, you need to think Soviet, because that's what it is. Then they progressed further than that, and Tony Blair took control, and once he had taken control, they created something called the Constitutional Reform Act of 2005, which was unlawful, right? And there were many provisions of that. There were other provisions also in the Coroner's Act of 2009 that chipped away in different variations at our rights. And they never told the people. That's the crucial thing, is they must tell the people what they're doing. Even Sir John Laws, who was the judge who dealt with the Metric Martyr case, had said that, right? So it's really important that people understand that the Constitutional Reform Act is serious. It undermines the foundation of our nation. But there was something that they did on two occasions. Once in 1868, they repealed part of the English Bill of Rights. And it is ultra-vires. They weren't allowed to do it. And they lied to people and they did it by stealth. And that was Section 3 of the original Bill of Rights. They weren't allowed to touch it. And again, that was 10 years after they elected Rothschild. And then in 1947, they top and tailed Section 2 of the, or Chapter 2, whatever you want to just, of the English Bill of Rights. And they made themselves Parliament. By taking these two parts out, they made themselves sovereign. They lied to everyone. They cheated people. They didn't tell people the truth. And they did that just after the Second World War, which fits in with the fact that we lost the Second World War, because they changed that crucial element. So there are lots of things. And then what they started to do, which possibly gets onto the subject of tonight, is they started to allocate billions of pounds to a company called Mears Group, and a company called Serco, and a company called Clear Springs. And what they started to do after that, they for the first time ever in 2011, they put into the census English-only national identity. And everyone who's English cheered. They're finally recognising the English. But you shouldn't have been cheering, because there was a reason why they did that. They needed to know where you was in England. And from that census and from that them statistics, they then started to flood, using the 4 billion of your tax money, the areas with the highest national identity of England. They also did that with Northern Ireland. They also did that with Wales. They also did that with Scotland. And the money that they're receiving is your tax money that is being laundered into these three major companies. And how I first found out about that was because I worked for Mears Group. And I noticed that my manager was in meetings. This was in 2016, 2017. He had just been taken away from the management of the group and made a project manager. Now, what I thought was strange, very strange, was he started off as a forklift driver. It was very Soviet in the way it was done. He started off as a forklift driver, and then all of a sudden, as a project manager, he was paid well in excess of £100,000 a year. And everyone thought, how fantastic, as the working class man is doing so well. And what he was actually doing in 2016 and 17 was going round to all of the military barracks that were in disrepair. Mears Group was given the funding via this, and this was prior to 2019. Right, this was in 2016, 2017. So this is a long-term situation. It didn't suddenly happen. And they was given the funding to repair these barracks because they were putting asylum seekers in there. They knew the asylum seekers were coming years in advance. And basically, I started to speak to a number of people there, and I was then sacked. The point I'm trying to make to people is, I've been telling people for years, this didn't just suddenly happen. It was planned. It was planned for. They never told you. They've used your tax money to do this and to house people. And all the time they had them billions available, instead of housing our own homeless people that were dying on the streets, freezing cold, They was allocating this money to these groups of asylum seekers who just happened to be young, fighting age men. But there's something else about this, and that is that a lot of these people are now being employed as SIA, security firm, employees. And because of our rights to self-defense, all that is needed is the chief constable, and again, I've shown this to people, is to authorise their firearm certificates, and then they're armed against you. And that's exactly what's going to happen. So everything that I've said in the past and showed people, this is what's happening. What they don't like is someone like me, and what I mean by that is a normal everyday working class person who has read law for 30 years, studied our constitution, is actually showing people this is what they've planned for years. It is treason, and they are conducting an invasion of this nation.
Wow, Graham, that is absolutely terrifying, and we appreciate your deep research on this. What is the end game for these people who've diabolically planned this out for so long?
The end game is the full, complete destruction of England. They have succeeded in destroying Scotland, and they have been conned into believing that they can go back into the European Union. They are currently, so Scotland, they removed the constabularies of Scotland. There were several of them. And they've created, a regional state police force. They don't have, what they have is a regional assembly. They don't have a dissolved parliament or a devolved parliament or any of them things. They haven't got a parliament, right? That's just a big con. There is a way that the Scots can deal with it. And I've already spoke to them up there, and no one's pushed forward on it. So I believe that they intend to carry on with the Union because they want to destroy England. So the end game, Karl Marx hated England with a vengeance. One of his colleagues wrote a letter, and in that letter he said that every communist revolution has been shipwrecked on the rock of England. He didn't say Britain, he said England, because Britain isn't a country. In effect, Britain itself is an island, and it contained, the reason it was called Great Britain was because it contained three nations, right? So the three nations are England, Scotland, and Wales, even though Wales is currently a principality. People need to understand that their end game is to regionalise England, which they're currently succeeding with. London is a region of the European Union. It has an assembly, no different to the Scottish Assembly. The person in charge of that assembly is Sadiq Khan, who I arrested and we arrested on January the 13th, 2018. The world's press saw that. It was live. And we arrested him for subverting the English constitution. And then we called the police. And of course, the police turned up. It was all on camera. Actually, you can still find it on YouTube. The point being that these people, the end game, as you put it, is to destroy England. And part of that process is to brainwash people to believe that they are British, not English, not Scottish, not Welsh, and not Irish. And the reason is because they need the regionalisation, and then you are drawn into the European Union again, which is what Keir Starmer is currently doing, and one of the things that he's doing with the European Defence Union. That they have always denied, which we have, and again, there's a really great guy out there, David Ellis, that has spoken to people on numerous occasions and said, listen, they're planning this, they're doing it, and they're doing it without telling you. And part of that is conscription, and part of it is to push our younger generations into a meat grinder with Russia.
So we'll get to that. So Scott, who is watching, has asked, why do they hate us native English people so much?
Because the only thing that they cannot defeat, and they know that, is the English common law constitution. It is inviolable. You have absolute rights from God. America, so one of the things I'll say to that, to Scott, is that we anglicized America. Not the other way around. So we're not becoming Americanized. We anglicize America. America is a replica of England from the 1600s. And when people recognize that, if you've been out there, Sean, yourself, I've been to America a number of times. I worked out in America. The system is an old English system. And the reason why they became the most powerful nation in the world and the best nation in the world to live in is because they abided by the English common law, right? So even their Supreme Court today uses English common law in their precedents. Hellier case, for example, Justice Scalia in the right to keep and bear arms actually stated that, that these rights, our Second Amendment, comes from the English Bill of Rights, and it was a pre-existing right in England. So getting back to why do they hate us so much, it is because of the English common law constitution. And the key thing that the English, right, don't allow is we don't allow fascism, We don't allow communism and we don't allow monopolies. And because of that, they need to crush us. We are the beating heart of the United States of America.
So the next question is from Kat. And Kat is asking, isn't this treason, what you are describing?
It is treason. And again, we have a separation of powers in England, although many people out there will tell you we haven't. If you go on to the Sprinkle, it will tell you we have. My law books behind me, by the way, this is not a green screen. These are real law books. I want people to understand that our judiciary, our solicitors, our barristers, all calling themselves British, are corrupt to the core. We have a far worse situation in England than America has, and America has currently got it bad, but America is taking back their nation constitutionally. And once America has done that, people should start to say, where did America get its constitution from? And then people will say, England, not the British, the English. And then we and people like me will have an opportunity to take this country back constitutionally. There is only one sentence for treason, and I'm not going to say what it is, but everyone should be aware. And the reason the sentence is so harsh is because you don't just attack the current population, you attack the future generations and you attack your ancestors that fought and died for your country and your rights.
So next question is from Tink. How do the people of England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland go about dissolving the UK City of London Crown Corporation and freeing themselves?
That's an excellent So constitutionally, if you don't want to vote for me, so I'm currently standing in the Runcorn and Helsby by-election. So if you was to vote for me, you get a real constitutionalist. You would get the first English MP for 70 years to be elected and that will stand up and speak of England and our rights, right? So that's the first thing. The second, if there is no one to vote for, you must write on your ballot. You must vote. Constitutionally, you must vote. It is an absolute right. And you write on that ballot, I do not consent, right? So there's another guy out there called Andy the Gabby Cabby. He's just recently done a big video about it. He asked me some questions and I said, listen, you need to go and look at this precedent that was set in 1703. And he went and downloaded the archive of that particular ruling. And what he saw amazed him. He said, everything you've said is true. And the British media and some of the alternative media, right, are lying about it. Why is that? Well, the reason is because we are unique in England in having this option right on the ballot. I do not consent. You must use your ballot. If you do not vote, you're doing what the communists want and what the Marxists want and what the fascists want. That's how they take control. What you need to do is write on that ballot, I do not consent, Ashby versus Wright, 1703. And once you do that, if that pile of I do not consent is higher than the so-called elected candidate, then you create a constitutional crisis and the separation of powers is brought in to bear. And you go to an election court and the election court nullifies the election, right? Because you've said, I do not consent. And that's it. You can only be taxed. You can only be governed. They can only enforce laws and make laws if you consent. If you put on that ballot, I do not consent, and there's a record of it, that's it. It's all over for them. And again, as a group of people, again, we're members of the Selden Society. All of this information can be found if you look for it. It's being hidden. So that's the answer to that in a nutshell. If you don't vote, you're complicit in what's going on and you must vote.
All right. So the next question then from Maria. Should England do what the British Union will never do and bring accountability to the British political union, Uniparty?
Absolutely. So that is what we're about. And it's why we're oppressed and suppressed. It's why the BBC won't even show our logo on their websites. When we had four candidates standing in the general election, I mean, in Chorley, I got 1,007 votes. And it was strategic. The others got their votes in the three other areas. Again, I stand a lot of the time in the northwest. The north of England has been completely abused by the British. They've shut down the shipbuilding industries, the steel industries, the coal industry, the car making industries, and they are crushing us. And it is for working people to understand. I'm a working class person. I may speak with a southern accent, but my family walked down 150 years ago with their tools on their shoulder from the north to London. Otherwise, I'd be speaking just like you. And the point people need to understand is working class is working class, and English is English. We have liberty and freedom in our veins. They are terrified of a peasant's revolt. And we are the people that can do that.
So you're getting asked why certain people, including members of the royal family, I think this person is referring to Prince Andrew, are above justice.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Are they above justice? Well, the answer to that, in this country, the king can do no wrong. In this country, and again, the book, one of them, the big grey book behind me, tells you exactly the reason for it. That's Housby's Laws of England. There are certain people associated with the royal family that cannot be prosecuted. The reason why they started to bring a prosecution in America was because, and everyone who's an American, and I love America, and I love Americans, right? And especially the independent states of America, because that is what you are. You should not be under a federal government taking the rights of the independent states. But let me just say this to everyone listening, this American. Since 1776, you stuck your finger up at the British and keep doing it. You need to prosecute people. We've got something called universal jurisdiction that cases, and we're bringing a case in America. One of our members was tortured by the British police. It's currently going through the courts here, but only on a tort basis. We want to bring a criminal prosecution of the British police. And on that indictment, we will name King Charles III. It can only be done in America, because in America, there is nothing protecting King Charles III from a torture indictment. And that is because the British agreed, they ratified the United Nations Convention Against Torture.
So Maria's got a follow-up question. What has the British Union done for my child and my family?
My answer to that is absolutely nothing. Again, people need to be aware of this, and I don't think they are aware that the British Parliament, there's no such thing as British law, by the way. The British Parliament, there are no English MPs. There are Scottish MPs, there are Irish MPs, there are Welsh MPs, and then the rest of them are British MPs. Because by stealth, they have allowed the people who call themselves British, a bit like the Soviet Union, to take control of this nation. And here's the kicker, people. They repealed the part of the Acts of Settlement, which was further securing our rights and liberties, that stated that you could only be a member of Parliament or House of Lords or a judge if you were born of English parents. So think about the United States of America. You can only be the president of the United States of America if you are born in America, right? And then for us, the English, they got that protection from us. So they incorporated it into their constitution from England. we expanded on it in England, and there was a particular reason why we did, which I won't go into now. But again, people should be aware it was the British that repealed that unlawfully, ultra vires. That was a constitutional statute that protected England from foreigners being in that parliament. And now if you look at that parliament, you can see it's nearly all foreigners.
So a question from Lady Katz. Has Trump got his sights on England or even Scotland, seeing as he is a MacLeod descendant?
The direct answer to that is President Trump is a Presbyterian, meaning that he's a Protestant. If you look at our history, the English Bill of Rights, for etc., and even to some extent the Acts of Union, protects the Protestant religion and the gospel. Right. So if you look at the Coronation Oath Act, if you look at the original contract, which is the Declaration of Rights of 1688, it protects the English and the Protestants. Why is President Trump's family being from Scotland important? Because he gets it. He absolutely gets it. He also understands that Protestants were being persecuted. He wasn't a Catholic, and he isn't a Catholic, and I'm not having a pop at Catholics here. I'm just making sure. But in history, there's two groups of people that cause serious problems for us. One is called Jesuits, and the other group I won't name. But the Jesuits were banished. If anyone knows anything about history in Switzerland, for example, they caused the civil war in 1848. I believe it was the Bundesbund. Civil War in Switzerland, and again the Swiss banished the Jesuits. Right, so the Jesuits are a different group of people. I was married to a Catholic for 33 years. Right, so I haven't got a problem with Catholics, but there's certain groups of people that are still actively causing problems for England, and they're doing the same on the southern border of America, and that can all be backed up. Everything that I'm saying to you with research can be backed up. So getting back to that question, there's various reasons for what's going on. It nearly all has historical precedent. Most of it, the British Empire is basically an extension of the Roman Empire. And if people understood that the Roman Empire is the original communism, you will understand what I'm talking about. There was only two groups of people in the Roman system. There was them and us, and then you had a slave class. And what they're trying to do is make us, the English, back into a slave class.
So do you think Trump is on the right track with his policies against unfettered immigration?
Absolutely. Again, if you want to talk about what he's doing, he's suggesting he's going to put them on planes and send them back. He is using the American economy as a weapon, as he should. If you go back to the original founding fathers of America, just like the English, they didn't want a war. They didn't want a war with people as such. And they were suckered into wars. I could talk in detail about how and why that happened, but this channel would probably get banned if I told the truth. But you can hear that on Rumble. The problem you've got is the Marxists and communists and indeed fascists, they want open borders. They need open borders for various reasons. But any time that you get involved with tariffs, you are protecting your workforce. You have actually got the leadership of a country honouring the working class by protecting them. And again, it's the only real way of protecting the nation going forward. So I absolutely agree with his policies. There will be things. Don't forget that President Trump was one of the top strategists in the New York Military Academy, which I believe he attended for 6 years. He's no mug. He knows exactly what he's doing. And his job is to protect America, American first. And that's exactly what he's doing. And we've wrote him a letter to say that England is a captured nation. And in America, they have something in July called Captured Nations Week, where they show nations that have been captured. And we are still a colony of the British Empire. And what we're showing them is we are aligned with America. It isn't the British that has a special relationship with America. It is England. And President Trump knows that.
And do you think that people here are so exasperated with what's going on with the major parties here, another party such as yours could come in and sweep and put the correct policies in place?
The answer is we could, because if you look at the English Constitution Party, our manifesto is unique. And I had to take the Electoral Commission to court because they didn't want to register us. And they backed out and they allowed us to be registered because our manifesto is actually the English Constitution. So imagine having a political party in America, let's say Republican, the Republicans, and their constitution and their manifesto. They stood up and said, our manifesto is the American Constitution. Well, that's what the English Constitution Party have done. And that shows people we haven't got any whips. So all we're doing, especially in Runcorn and Helsby, is saying we represent you, the people, right? We're not interested in being told what we can and can't say by the party, right? If you vote for any of the other parties, I mean any, right? You are voting for a whip. And if that's what you want, if you want to vote for a party that tells your candidates what they can or cannot say, then just keep voting for people. I mean, particularly one, Reform, for example. Their candidate is a magistrate. So a magistrate that has nodded to all the police, that have convicted working class people, that have told lies, and that magistrate has sat there and nodded away like a nodding dog, sending people down, right? And that's what they want to elect. Well, I won't tolerate that. I'm there to speak for the people and to air the people's grievances in Parliament and to the Crown. You would see, just to make sure everyone's aware of this, if you ever want to see a maiden speech on par with Cromwell, elect me on the 1st of May 2025, and I'll tell you now, they will be sitting there trembling because I will be using parliamentary privilege to its fullest. That's it. So everyone needs to understand that this country is in trouble, and people need to snap out of this Britishness stuff and go back. And let me just make sure I'm clear on this. We want to void the Acts of Union. It's the cleanest way of stopping the nonsense. What does that mean? It means you go back to being a Commonwealth nation. It means you go back to full independence. It means you go back to governing yourselves. That's it.
So let's say then, that we saw the inquiry into the grooming gangs get voted down by Labour, the Conservatives and Reform. And I know people who are invested in Reform now as if it's an alternative. But are you saying it's just an illusion of choice?
Absolutely. So let me, on our leaflets that we sent out, just to make sure, I understand that you just had some people on your show talking about what they describe as grooming gangs. They are not grooming gangs. They are rape and torture gangs. There is a law in this country, the Criminal Justice Act 1988, Section 134, torture, right? Section 6 states it is a mandatory life sentence if convicted by a jury. It is indictment only. What that section of the law states is if any state official acquiesces, consents, omits, or acts to cause torture, and rape is torture, it's recognized as torture under international law. If anyone of the council, social services, the police, MPs, prime ministers, Gordon Brown, right? The reason why they're terrified of me is because I have put that information out there and I said I will stand in that parliament and demand to know why a law that was enacted by Queen Elizabeth II in 1988 on the tricentenary of the English Bill of Rights, why that law is not being used. Why do they keep talking about inquiries when all we've got to do is put it in front of a jury in all of the areas in England? And the end of that judicial inquiry by jurors, if they get found guilty, they get a whole life sentence. That includes Gordon Brown. That includes the police officers. That includes social services. That includes the council officials. And nothing I'm telling you now is fake news. It is all completely true, right? So we've just put that leaflet out and it's gone out all over Runcorn and Helsby. And we're hoping that people finally read it. But instead, they've been so demoralized, believing they haven't got someone that represents them. You absolutely have. So again, people need to realize there is 100% always a solution. And the solution is the Constitution.
Yeah, well said, man. So Lady Katz wants to know, why are they arresting people for vocalizing statements such as, you know, social media posts, but then letting certain predators walk free?
One is because they're winding people up for a civil war. The second reason is because all of those people trusted their British solicitors, British barristers. I'm going to make sure I tell everybody this, right? If you are ever arrested, you say no comment. You do not answer a single question. If they say to you, do you want a cup of tea, Graham? You say no comment. Because if you don't, they will use their list of questions in a court of law and the judge will allow all of their questions, even though you said yes to a cup of tea, right? The only reason they want you to answer questions is to convict you. It is their job to find the evidence to prosecute you. So shut the beep up, right? Don't say anything. America got the Fifth Amendment from England. And yet you're not told that, and you should be. The reason why them people are in prison was because they trusted the British establishment. Well, let me tell you something. You will know one day, I don't know what's going to happen yet, but if people often say to me, we want you to be prime minister. I said, I don't want to be prime minister. Well, what do you want to be then? I said, make me the chief justice and I will do what King Alfred did, right? And do you know what King Alfred did? He hanged. This is the law.
Let's be careful.
So King Alfred carried out the sentence for perjuring your oath. And 44 judges met their demise, right? Because they perjured their oath under English law. So if you want to see me as a Chief Justice, and if you want to go through all of them judges that have done exactly that, you will see the sentence carried out. You'll see fair trial. You'll see a fair trial first, though.
Tink wants to know, who wrote the Constitution? Wasn't it written by them as well?
So our Constitution, that's a good question. Our Constitution goes back at least 1,500 years. So England has been a nation since 927. As you move through the history of England, different parts have been created. It's called a common law constitution for a reason. It's not codified. We did have a codified constitution with Cromwell. And again, that was quite a good constitution. But codified constitutions are not really English. What you do with the separation of powers, it allows your judges to turn up or turn down the gas. So if something starts to come to the boil, the High Court can come in and turn it down and say, hang on a minute, we're causing rebellion, there's a problem here. And they can void laws. They can void primary legislation if it causes rebellion. By the way, that's always been the law in this country. So the common law will control, that's where the term comes from, the common law will control statute. Many people say to me, wrongly, that statute is not law. It is law. What happened, we had charters. Charters is in effect a statute that's created by king in council with the council. And what they did in 1275 was they expanded the franchise of the council, King's Council, into a parliament to bring more people in, and then they created statutes. So a statute really is a charter. The problem is that the people in that parliament, which is British, not English, is ignoring our constitution. Democracy is fine as long as it is limited by the constitution, and it is, and Sir John Laws actually stated that. So everyone should understand we have a constitution. Various people were involved with that constitution, that's correct, but it wasn't just bad guys that wrote that. It was good guys, people who believed in God, people who were Christian, and believed that we were all equal under the law, which we are, and in the sight of God.
So a question from Maria. Why is it okay for England to be turned into 9 regions without our people being asked? First, they stole our parliament, and then they took away our self-sufficiency, and now they are dismantling us.
Well, Maria, I've got to tell you something. That is... It's more of an observation than a question, but I agree entirely. What they are doing is completely unlawful. It is treason, and every uni party out there is still backing the regionalisation, which is a European Union concept that was put in place and started to be pushed through by the Tories, the Conservative and Union Party, the Labour Party and the Lib Dems. So I just want everyone to understand that the regionalisation of England, when they say levelling up, what they actually mean is levelling down. They intend, if anyone can see the state of London, and I was born in London, let me tell you something, it is a terrible place, right? And who destroyed it was the British. And what they're doing now is intending, by regionalising England, is to bring the regions of England via Serco, via Mears Group, via Clear Springs, via the British Parliament and your money to destroy it and bring down those regions. They seek to destroy it. Lancashire, Yorkshire, Northumberland, County Durham, right? And I've been to all them places. I love the North and I love Northern people. They're very direct, right? I can't think of anything better when I walk into a pub and someone says to me, stop beeping, mithering me, right? and I just think our diversity comes from our language, right? And our language is English, and we have different tones and different characters in different parts of England. And that is our diversity, not the speaking the King's English, because then people speak in dull tones and hate the working class with a vengeance.
So on the subject of Serco, how do they make their money, Graham?
They basically, so there are a number of contracts that are given out by the government. There's various elements to Serco, but the basic is that they take all the contracts. So I'll give you an example, prison contracts. And there's a story around this. I don't know if people understand this properly, but in the Soviet Union, it was a transport company that was a Soviet Union company. And one of those guys used to transport vehicles, which little cells in the back. They picked people up from the courts. They put them in the back of the vehicle when no one knew what was going on. They drove to an end point, but on the way, they flicked a switch inside the vehicle that put the exhaust gases into the back. So all of the passengers of that vehicle died of carbon monoxide poisoning, right? So it was a company very similar, if you want to call it that, to Serco, right? In other words, they had contracts to do certain things. And one of the contracts that Serco have got is the court contracts and the prisoner delivery system from prisons to courts, etc. That's how they operate. They operate in an unfair monopoly situation, which, again, the English don't do. And it is a cross between fascism and communism. And these monopolistic companies are paid out of your taxes. And it's a downward spiral. There is no benefit to you at the end of the day. All that's going to happen is you're going to keep losing rights and privileges, etc., until in the end you are a slave.
And how are they making money from the unfettered immigration?
How do they make money? I mean, I've got a document here. If you want me to show it on the screen, do you want me to share it?
Perhaps not, because it could be used against us.
Right. Well, so there's so if you go to there's a you can search for this. It's Serco, and what Serco so Reuters, for example, did an article about this, and they showed that Serco, Mears Group, and Clear Springs were given $4 billion of taxpayers' money. This is in 2019. Don't forget, I used to work for them in 2016, 17, and they was doing it then. There was another company called Carillion that went bankrupt, right? For various reasons, mainly due to various skullduggery situations, it went bankrupt. The point I'm trying to make to you now is that they make money because the government has given them money. What they've done is put that money not just into hotels. They're the ones who are paying for houses. They're the ones who are paying for what's known as multiple occupancy properties around the country. They're buying up portfolios of houses and putting these asylum seekers in there. But the way that they're doing it is they targeted using the information that they got from the ONS and the census of where the highest levels were of English-only national identity, and it means that those migrants are then given a British parliament, and it means that instead of it being like that with English, as you see them move in, you'll see that the British and they're given rights to vote start to overtake you, and that's how they're doing it. So they make money by being given billions of your tax money to flood this country. And again, if you look at certain other groups of people, a particular charity, which is basically the lifeboat organization, you will see that they're being used as a taxi service for these people. And we could stop this at any time. There is no political will to stop it, because all of the Uni Party are in fact supporting the destruction of England.
And we're seeing news stories about villages of like less than 100 people. All of a sudden, there's like 100 asylum seekers are put in villages like this. Have you heard stories like this?
Well, Barrow and Furness is one of them. It's got a population, I believe, of 6,000 or 7,000. A few Islamic people that live there. And they have just built or intend to build, I think it's a £7 million mosque or a £2.5 million mosque. Again, they're taking over a lot of our churches. They're taking a lot of, I don't know if anyone's noticed, but they've shut most of the pubs down. And what they've done is created in the pub space their own communities or their own community people. It's simply a destruction of England and English culture.
So prior to you coming on, Graham, you know, we did a panel on these gangs who are doing these assaults on the teenage girls, and it's absolutely disgusting. And we've got a question here from Nosy Poke, because the cops aren't doing anything about those gangs, but a couple of days ago they announced they were raiding Turkish barbers and vape shops. Is that them just virtue signaling to the British public? Nosy Poke wants to know.
The technical answer to that is those shops have been used as a mechanism for another. So it's not just the boats that you should be looking at. The vast amount of illegal asylum seekers and crooked visas are coming in via these shops. Many of these shops are actually supported by NGOs in the background or other groups external to England, and they're being paid to keep. It's almost like a money laundering scheme, but it's also a laundering scheme for illegal visas, and that's the bit that people are not seeing. Many people are coming here, hundreds if not thousands every day, via them schemes, and the British oligarchy, the regime, the cabal know exactly what's going on. And just to give you an indication of that, and I'll just give you again, people can Google anything that I'm saying, it'll come straight up. It's just not spoken about by the mainstream media or alternative media. I mean, you are what I would describe as real alternative media. Andy the Gabby Cabby, real alternative media. LSB Productions, real alternative media. The reason I'm saying is you are important because people are not hearing what's actually going on. So Scotland, for example.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Just give 2 contracts to a Turkish company, to supply 2 massive ferries that are intending to go from, I think, Clydesdale or somewhere like that in Scotland to Brussels, right? And they're going to be going to and from. Now, them contracts was awarded to Turkish shipbuilders, and they're ferries, large-scale ferries. What do you think is going to happen? The people are going to end up in Scotland and come straight over the border to England.
You froze there briefly. It's all right, you're back. You've got a question that ties into that. And Maria wants to know why all of our manufacturing jobs got moved to China.
That is a very good question. The answer to that is exactly the same as America. They seek to destroy the working class. They wanted to create a service-only industry. Anyone with any brains will tell you that that don't work. It will never work. And China actually uses slave labor in China. They're paid, many of them are paid a pittance. And what you're doing is then re-importing their goods and paying for child sweatshops, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not suggesting they're all doing that in China, but what I'm saying is a large amount of them are. And you're actually destroyed. These people have actively destroyed. And what the corporations are doing, they don't care about the nation. They only care about the profit, and they take the money from our economy offshore. Right? That's why you get multi billionaires, and then you end up with nothing because they take everything out of society. So that's the reason why they did that. They destroyed our manufacturing industry. They destroyed our car industry. If you look at Labour, they sold Rover for £1. Tony Blair sold Rover for £1, right? And again, the unions and the Marxists within the unions were the people who destroyed our industries.
Indeed, and Scott is pointing out on the screen, China equals slave labor equals cheap products. So the globalists have basically made all these people unemployed in our domestic country so they can take advantage of Chinese slave labor to make even more billions for themselves. And, you know, you spoke about reverse engineering. Isn't that what the unfettered immigration does? It collapses the domestic wage so these guys can make more profit because you've got an extra supply of labor now on the market pushing the wage price down.
That is correct. And if you look at most of the labor at the moment, a lot of these immigrants are taking standard trade jobs or even non-trade jobs like driving jobs. When I say driving jobs, I mean minicab jobs. And that was always the staple. If you was out of work, years ago I was out of work, I'd get a job as a minicab driver for a year, keep yourself afloat, go and get another job, etc. So everyone understands what they're actually doing is destroying our country. And again, if you've only got to look the strategic nonsense that they talk, anyone with a brain can tell you they are actively destroying the workforce and our skill sets. So again, if you look at tradesmen, who was it that removed, in effect, apprenticeships? Tony Blair and the Labour Party, right? They destroyed that. That was in place for nearly 300 years, and they destroyed it. Why did they destroy it? Because a carpenter or a bricklayer or a roofer, a tiler, a skilled man, plasterer in particular, right? They could earn £100,000 a year and nothing to do with the state, right? And black taxi drivers could earn £100,000 a year cash, right? Nothing to do with the state. And all of those people have been under attack. And when you realise that they have attacked the trades, the labourers, and in effect, the non-farmers, they've attacked them, and now they've started on the farmers. And again, they're attacking the food supply, which they have done since the Second World War with supermarkets.
It seems all the land is being taken from the farmers to go into the hands of big corporations and elites.
That is correct. And if you go back and look at our ancient laws, the farmers are protected. There is a particular set of common law laws, and it's called copyhold. It was abolished in 1925 by the British. So again, all these people that say they're British, you need to look and see what the British have done and in effect killed our farmers. And they are killing the food supply. They started with the foot and mouth disease in the 2000s, early 2000s. There's evidence that they did that deliberately. And the same group of people are doing it again. I won't say on this show what I'm talking about, but it's fairly obvious what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we had a farmer on whose land was taken from him through lawfare, and he ended up dumping a bunch of muck on the courthouse door, and he made news headlines through that just to bring attention to what was going on. Anyway, Victoria wants to know, are we further down the woke road than America was with the Biden admin?
We are in a far, England is in a far worse situation than the United Independent States of America. We have got no one, apart from me and a few others, that actually know what's going on, and there is a strategy and a plan to deal with it. The problem we've got is the British will not allow us a voice to explain what's going on to the people. Again, like I said, the only real way of solving this is getting someone in that parliament using parliamentary privilege to say exactly what's going on, even the rape and torture gangs. Rupert Lowe and Ben Habib are going so far and then stopping. The reason they started to attack Rupert Lowe was because he started to talk about the English Bill of Rights in Parliament. And next thing you know, he was kicked out of the Reform Party. Again, people need to understand. David Amos was someone else who talked about England, and he didn't last long either.
So Tracy says, Graham, I believe Scotland is next on the list to be getting the digital ID. Has this got anything to do with loading the ferries full of illegal immigrants?
The answer is probably. Scotland has been conquered by the European Union. The people have been lied to. Like I said earlier, they haven't got a devolved parliament. They have got a European Union assembly. No different to Wales, no different to Northern Ireland, no different to what they're setting up in England, which is to destroy England. And the people of England are not being told that.
What do you think of the Online Safety Act, whereby if you do a internet post that can cause somebody anxiety, they can contact the authorities and have you arrested?
It goes against everything that England and English common law stands for. You have the right to freedom of the common law right of freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and freedom of thought. So anything to do with that is protected by the English constitution. And of course, the British court system, the British administrative law system are now trying to say that they take precedent, which they do not. All of our English constitutional laws come from an extended period, which means one, they're entrenched, two, we have precedent, and three, we have an English Bill of Rights and that came from, and a Declaration of Rights, which is really important, that came from a convention parliament. It's really, people really need to understand that we have got rights from our own convention parliament, which the British are trying to erase. So all of those things that are happening online is completely unlawful. The problem you've got is that the British barristers are crooked and brainwashed. The British solicitors brainwashed and crooked, and the judges are just as bad.
And we've got 30 people a day right now being arrested for social media posts in this country. You may find that shocking in America, but the Online Safety Act, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, they can criminalize you and extradite you over here. It's madness.
People don't realize how bad it is. And I just want to emphasize this to everyone, right? Please, please, please listen to what I'm saying. If a police officer or a police constable knocks on your door, you say no comment. That's it. Don't answer their questions. And let me just say this to all them people that are locked up now, right? It's better to be banged up for 3 days and say nothing than to listen to a British solicitor and a British barrister plead guilty because you've been given an inducement they'll go easy on you. And you then get a 3-year prison sentence, right? I'd rather do the 3 days behind a door, right? Eating police, ugh, right? Every morning. But at least on the fourth day, you can go in the cafe and have a proper munch and you can be proud of yourselves for not saying a single word, right? Instead, these people trusted the British police, they trusted the British solicitors, they trusted the British barristers. The whole of the legal system is corrupt to the core.
And I'm aware of people who are doing life because they spoke to the cops when they didn't need to and they were innocent. Brendan Dessie included. All right, so Grasshopper, what does Graham know about the Localism Act 2011? Can we not use it against the local councils? It is my understanding that it transferred power to communities, not developers.
That's a really good question. You can, and it also, you can trigger local referendum. I'm not an expert in that, basically, because it's a type of legislation that I am not au fait with, but it can be used positively if you are strategic in your thinking, right? So that's what I'm going to say to people You must be strategic in your thinking, come together with as a group in your community, and you can use that act against the system.
I just wanted to give a disclaimer before I give you this question, because when this question refers to protest, we are referring to peaceful protests here. So, Lady Cat, the French protest and strike to excess. Shouldn't we protest as in peaceful protest and lobby more as a people?
Most definitely. The problem that you've got is the British establishment will not allow you to communicate. And as soon as you start to get a group and communicate, they also infiltrate and set you up, right? That's classic. It even happened, for example, in 1819 with Peterloo. If you actually read the archives of what happened, the person who set up the peelers basically said the police constables that assisted in setting up these people should be done for treason because they didn't commit any offence. It was orchestrated. Let me put it this way: in America, Americans will understand. The English understand what happened on January the 6th, right? And what I'm saying is you have to be very careful in this country. This country is one of the worst in the world. And when I say this country, I am talking about what they describe as a country, which is Britain. It's not a country, it's an island. But they are completely crushing any form of rebellion in England.
All right, next question is from Nikki. Once we are voting and paying taxes, aren't we just slaves to the system anyway?
First of all, voting is a constitutional right. I've said earlier on, you need to be using I do not consent, or vote for me in Runcorn and Helsby. If you don't vote, you're complicit. You're aiding and abetting the enemy by not voting. That's as simple as that. Paying taxes, again, if you go and look at Peterloo, there were two things that was happening at Peterloo in 1819. The first was that they was making a declaration not to pay taxes. They'd already done it in Spitalfields Market, a large area in London, and been successful when they'd stopped paying money into the tax system. And again, they did it in Birmingham. And then they was trying to stop contagion. The second thing the people were doing at Peterloo was demanding that working class people get the vote, right? And that's why they killed them. So the British literally killed 18 working class people, injured 700. They killed men, women, and children. And if people really understood their history, as I do, there's a film out there called Peterloo. People should go and watch it. Nothing's changed for the working class, the white working class of this country. We have been shamefully treated for hundreds of years, and it's about time we started to get our own people representing us in that parliament.
So Nikki wants to know, does the church play a role in the decision makings in Parliament?
Yeah, it can do, but mainly in the Lords. The Church of England is constitutionally protected as a Protestant church. What it can't do is make law. And if you actually read the English Bill of Rights, it's not allowed to make a law and enforce a law and imprison you. That's been removed. But just to make sure everyone understands, that's also the same for Hindus, for Jewish law, and for Sharia. And people don't realise that that's in the English Bill of Rights. People often say to me, we should ban Sharia. So it's already banned, right? But people are not told that. And they should be.
James wants to know, where's the Crown stand in all of this?
Well, that is a really good question. First of all, there is a separation of powers. It is reneged on them powers. It is now actively operating against the people and against the gospel, which means it has effectively abdicated. Where do I get that from? From the speech of Sir John Somers and Sir John Holt, who were the framers of the English Bill of Rights and the negotiators of the Glorious Revolution with Parliament, they actually said that the deeds of the monarch and what he has actually done, this was in 1689, means that he has abdicated, and both houses of Parliament agreed, right? So that means, if you look at the original contract and the oath that was taken, the Coronation Oath Act, King Charles III has effectively abdicated. But they will never allow me to say this in Parliament unless I'm elected. And I can tell you now, I will stand up and say that the Crown has abdicated, right? So people need to understand there are constitutional laws that protect us. And let me just say this to everyone. In the past, we've had good kings, and in the past, we've had bad kings. We have got a bad, very bad king, right? No different to the ones, on some occasions, were dealt with.
So next question. The likes of Larkin Rose, who advocates that voting is a waste of time, stop feeding the beast, is he paid opposition? Is his agenda a psyop?
Absolutely. So anyone who doesn't vote, you are betraying not only your ancestors who fought and died for your vote, the people at Peterloo, for example. You are betraying everyone that stood for you, right? That have got you the right to vote and then betrayed it. Women didn't even have the right to vote until, I think, 1924, right? And yet now they're telling people, don't vote. You've also got to remember that parties like me and the independents that stand pay £500. You are slapping the faces of disabled people, of pensioners, of people without a voice when you don't vote. You are slapping them people who have donated to get you onto the ballot, right? And those people that say that should be ashamed of themselves.
So Tracy wants to know, Graham, is it worth it to buy or invest in houses and properties in this country anymore for Airbnbs?
Or houses with money? My direct answer to that is, if you go back 15 years ago, I had £1.5 million worth of assets, 10 grand a month coming in. I actually owned a betting shop. I was quite wealthy, et cetera, et cetera. Right now, I've got nothing. I don't want nothing. And the reason I don't want anything is because the current situation, they're going to take everything off you. If we go back to being England, I would gladly invest my time in building a business. I would be, in my opinion, with my knowledge, my skills, and the people I've got around me, a multimillionaire within a year to 2 years. Can you do that now? No. Are you in a dangerous position in this country if you own property? Yes. Anyone who thinks they made good investments and they've seen their property prices go up, I've got news for you, people, right? What you have done is participated, especially if you try to leverage that on its way up. House inflation is a tax, and you have just paid a tax, and you have just stripped the future generation of any chance of ever having a home. Well done.
Do you think freehold land would be better? That's another question that's come in.
Technically, in England, there is no such thing as a freehold, unless it is what's known as fee simple. Be simple, you've still got that in America. It come from England and the English common law. Be simple means you own everything above, right the way up, right? And everything below ground, right? So again, people need to understand the different types of freehold. But if I'm terribly honest with you, in 1997, they created something called the Leasehold Act. When they passed that act, if you are a freeholder and you lease a property, even to a tenant short or long term, that tenant has the right to force you to sell the freehold. So freeholders' rights have literally been wrung out by the British. the Marxist communist system.
So Tink wants to know, the Bible is older than the Constitution, and they have cut and edited the Bible. So how can the Constitution stand?
Well, the answer to that is our Constitution is known as God's law. So there are a number of chief justices stated in law that the English common law is God's law and God's law is the English common law. There are certain Christian beliefs groups out there that actually say the Constitution is God's law, and I agree. It comes from the Ten Commandments as the basis of our Constitution. They've edited the Bible, I agree. There's certain elements of the Bible that are completely corrupt in what they've done. And again, this is not having a go at Christians. This is the church. I believe that as a Christian, the church is the people, right? We, the people, are the church, not a building, not a deity. Not dieties of different people, etc. So is the Constitution has been edited unlawfully. It's called ultra-vires. And the same as the Bible, if you won't go back to the original copies of the Bible and retranslate it, you can get that back. It's called a claim of right. And the same way as Christians can reclaim the original Bible and the original words of Jesus Christ, you can reclaim the original words of the Constitution.
Should England return colonial artifacts and jewels to the country of origins?
I don't really understand what, when they say artifacts and jewels, it depends how they was come by. If that is saying that people believe wrongly that we stole all these things from these other groups, I first want them to say, so I'm going to say a few things. First of all, the England gave the world computers. The first actual computer was developed in the 1700s by someone called Charles Babbage. We developed the internet. We developed the first locomotive. We developed all of these inventions and exported them over the world. We developed and exported the English common law and the English language, right? So people who attack England by saying that we stole these things, I want you to do me a favor, the people who are saying that. Rather than use the word England, why don't you see exactly the year we're talking about and see if it was the British rather than the English? And that's the difference, right? So that's all I'll say on that subject. But I can go into detail. I consider that to be partly a nonsense. It is the British that caused most of the problems. The British caused the problems with India. They created Pakistan. They created Iran. They created Saudi Arabia. And here's the kicker, people. They created Israel. Right. So when people understand that, and they also understand that voiding the Acts of Union, meaning voiding the British, right, it doesn't exist anymore. You also void, and this is key to this, the Balfour Agreement, the Palestinian Agreement of 1923, and the Partition Agreement of 1948, because the British Parliament was the ones to give it authority. The British Parliament doesn't exist anymore, so it has no authority. It goes back to another group of people, highly likely the United Nations.
So Artax wants to know, is unfettered immigration deliberate to mix up the people and destroy nations and tribes?
Absolutely correct. Very much so. It is. So if you imagine the Acts of Settlement, for example, stated that you could not be a member of Parliament, House of Lords, a judiciary, any position of profit or power, unless you were born of English parents. Right. And that's plural. So if you understand that statement and they removed that, the British removed that, the British have created a situation where foreigners come into the Parliament. The reason why the Act of Settlement originally said that was because foreigners were taking positions and then stripping England of its wealth and of its rights, which is crucially important. And that is exactly what they're doing. So they're getting foreigners coming in We've got no history of this country, don't know our ancient laws, etc. And all they want to do is work in this country, take our money, and then go back to their own nation. They're stripping the wealth from England, which is exactly what's going on.
Well, Graham, this has been absolutely fascinating. You've answered most of the questions. Is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion to the viewers?
Well, in conclusion, I would say this. Be proud to be English. England as a nation and the diversity of our shires and counties is what they seek to destroy. So you need to fight against that. And one way of doing that is supporting the English Constitution Party, whose manifesto is the English Constitution. We are completely unique as a political party. We support you as individuals. We air your grievances in Parliament, and we are not afraid to stand up and speak of the white working class English. Finally, you have got representatives that will stand up for you. And I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. We do not dislike the Scots, the Welsh, the Irish, or the Cornish, or the Northern Irish, right? We believe we are a brotherhood of nations, but we should be separately governed. And when people say to me, Graham, we are stronger together, I always say to them, did you know that that was a Marxist slogan from the Soviet Union? And you have just repeated their brainwashing. And they look at me and say, I didn't know that. Well, there you go. So next person that says stronger together, remember Joseph Stalin, remember the Soviets. They were the ones who put that slogan out there, and remember what happened to them, right? Russia is a nation, a strong nation, is an Orthodox Christian nation. They took their country back from the globalists. That's it, and that's what we need to do. So, again, I'm on Twitter. I've been banned on Twitter even last year, funny enough, and all I do is talk about the English Constitution. It's definitely not a freedom of information platform. You can find me on Rumble, which is the Full English Show. Again, you can search me and find me. But most importantly, on Twitter, I am currently English Exit. So if you remember English and Exit, I'll go out to America. We do seminars as well. So if anyone wants one of our seminars, come and speak to us. And we do seminars, and I literally get all the banners out and I show you stuff. I go through the law books and everyone goes, wow, I was never taught this. And then I tell them why you wasn't taught it, because they hate the English with a vengeance. But that's it. But I am really grateful to you, especially. And if you ever want me to come on and talk about Charles Bronson, who I met while I was in prison, and him taking, and him actually taking the hostages when I was there, and all of the little stories about what happened there.
We would love that, Graham. Put a one in the chat, viewers, if you want Graham to come back with more stories and more interviews. And Graham, you know, I'm from Widnes, next to Runcorn. What can the people of Runcorn do for you?
The people of Runcorn, so we're on the 26th. We've got another day of action. It's on our website at the moment. We're going to be in Frogmarsh, is it? There's a funny pronunciation of the word. I'm terrible at pronouncing words, right? Which just up the road from Widnes, right? We've got a day of action out there. We have all our boards out, our English flags, vote for England, vote for us, etc. But we've got a lot of support all over the country, and the British hate it. The Labour Party hate it with a vengeance. And let me just say this to your audience, right? Keir Starmer actually said, and I've got it enhanced, right, that he effing hates Liverpool, right? Well, I've got an answer from Liverpool and Runcorn and Helsby, yeah? We effing hate you as well. So if you want to vote for an Englishman, that's all you got to do. And I will gladly come back and explain more of our English laws and our constitution.
Oh, thank you, my friend. I really appreciate it. All of Graham's links are in the description box. I'll put them in the live chat as well. Support his work and we'll get you back. And I'm going to let you go and close the show and have a great rest of your day, my friend. Take care.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye. All right. What a phenomenal guest. So interesting. so well researched in history. I find that absolutely fascinating. I thought he was just going to give, you know, the recent reasons for the grooming gangs and the unfettered immigration. It goes back hundreds of years. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? Absolutely mind-blowing. And what have we got next? I've done 5 hours today. We've got Ron's coming with an ex-police staffer tomorrow, Izzy Vine. There's a couple of other cops he's talking to as well. The show with Izzy Vine is scheduled for 7 p.m. He's got a bunch of stuff scheduled for Friday night as well. And if you missed, I know you've been watching the Grooming Gang stuff today. If you missed what we did on Monday with Maggie Oliver, whereby she brought on Amber from the BBC show Three Girls, and Amber's never done an interview before. When I finish this video, it's going to take you over to that one. So it's doing really well, and check it out, guys. Also, would you like me to get more leaders of political parties on the channel? Put one in the chat if you would like me to get more leaders of political parties on the channel, like we've seen today, because I have been approached by a few, and I will get right on that. I can see some ones coming in. So yeah, let's do more of that. All right, I'm glad you enjoyed that. Thank you for your questions as usual. We will see you in the next stream.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.